think one of the neatest things I've learned over the years is I always thought Christmas and Easter were holidays. And they're not. They're seasons. You can't celebrate the coming of the Son of God in one day. You can't celebrate that Christ is risen and walks among us in one day. It takes a season to do that. And I say that because today is the last day, the last Sunday in Easter. It ends next Sunday at Pentecost. Now, I haven't been here long enough to know how you do things, but if you are one of those churches who wear red for Pentecost, that's next week. If you're not, then don't worry about it. On this final Sunday of Easter, I want to talk to you about two things, and they've already been talked about here in worship. The first is that Jesus didn't just rise from the dead. It's that Christ rose gloriously and shares that resurrection with us. The second thing I want to talk about is the story of doubting Thomas. Because I'm going to share that again, I want to read it to you. It's found in the Gospel of John, I lost my notes. 20th chapter, verses 24 to 29. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." He said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." May the Lord bless to us this reading of his word. So Christ is risen. He is in the world with us. You may remember back on Easter itself, Pastor LaFontaine shared that that wasn't just for him. Christ shares his resurrection with all of us in the promise of eternal life. Christ rose from the grave in a glorious resurrection body, and someday we will too. Can we look forward to that? Won't need glasses anymore or hearing aids. No medications for high blood pressure and diabetes and all those other things. No threat of cancer, no aches, no pains, no fatigue. Isaiah says, "We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and will not faint. In fact, we will soar on wings like eagles." Doesn't that sound beautiful? In his resurrection, Jesus promises someday all that is going to be ours. Don't you look forward to that day? Now on to Thomas. The story in John begins with the resurrected Christ coming to his disciples on that first Easter morning. And Thomas isn't there. Have you ever thought what that means? It had been Easter Sunday and Thomas wasn't in church. There are a lot of reasons people can't be in church. Our pastor isn't here this morning because he's sick. There are also a lot of not so good reasons that people make excuses for to miss church. We don't know the reason. All we know is on that first Easter morning, Thomas wasn't there. Now, before you start looking at empty pews and thinking about the people who aren't here this morning, I want you to realize there are other ways to miss church on Sunday. I'll tell you, all across the nation this morning, there are people who are sitting in their churches and missing worship because their minds are on the family picnic they're having tomorrow, and they're running down the list trying to remember if everything's been taken care of. A couple of pastorates ago, I was down in Evans City, and let me tell you, every Sunday that the Steelers played football, less than half of the men that were there, and probably two-thirds of the women, were actually worshiping. The rest of them all had their minds on the game. So many things to think of, even here, other than God. You want to know who else probably misses worship on Sunday mornings? Your pastor. When you're leading worship instead of just worshiping, your thoughts are constantly on what comes next in the order of worship. Would you believe that I got so caught up in worshiping one Sunday that as we got to the last hymn, my dear wife was sitting in the front pew going, "Offering. You forgot the offering." You have to be careful of things like that. And if your mind's on that, you don't worship. You're doing little details. So easy to get lost in leading worship and miss the chance to worship God. Is it that way for the organist too? Please, on Sunday mornings, keep your worship leaders in prayer because they are so tuned into what they're doing that they're missing what they should be doing, which is worshiping God. Anyway, Thomas and so many other people missed Sunday worship. Thomas got all upset when the disciples told him what happened. He refused to believe that something important happened in church while he wasn't there. You notice he seems to get a little nasty about it. But did you notice what happened? Jesus came back for him. He showed him the holes in his hands, the wound in his side. And then Thomas believed and worshiped him. And then Jesus makes this strange comment about, "You believe because you've seen it. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe." You do know that's us. In this life, we will probably never see the risen Christ. But we've come to believe. Because of the witness of Scripture, because of the witness of people around us, we've come to believe. Now let me tie those two lessons together, but first a comment. When you're children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, when the children that so bless this church ask you questions about the Bible and faith and you don't know the answer, don't brush them off like they don't matter. Sometimes they do. Years ago, I taught these two lessons. The glorious resurrection body of Christ. And Jesus returning for Thomas. When I got done, a teen came up with a question he wanted me to answer. If Jesus walked out of that tomb in that glorious resurrection body, then why, when he came back to Thomas, were there still holes in his hand? Why weren't they healed in the resurrection? I don't remember what I said at the time, but I'm pretty sure I just brushed them off and forgot about it. And recently I read something that tied that question to something I've been through. And I realized the answer to that question can be really important. In the last years of her life, my mom had dementia. She didn't know who I was. She didn't know who my sisters were. She didn't even know who my dad was. Mom was the person that really taught me my faith. She made me who I am today. And at that point in her life, I was pretty sure she had forgotten who God was. And I wondered if God had forgotten her. Then I came across a verse in Isaiah's prophecy. The people of Israel were in exile in Babylon. They'd come to believe that God had forgotten them. And God answered, "Will a mother forget the son born from her womb, or the daughter that nurses at her breast? Even if they forget, I will never forget you. Look, I have your name tattooed on my hand." Is there any chance that God is going to forget one of his beloved children? Absolutely not. But just to be sure, God has this backup plan. As our names tattooed on his hand, to be sure he never forgets. It's the kind of trope that keeps coming up again and again in today's world that shows how parents can get frustrated with children. I was thinking about that and realized, I hope that doesn't apply to us and God. Think about it. God has promised us a time of peace when all sorrow will end. And we respond, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" We wake up on Sunday mornings. God says, "Go to church." And we say, "I don't want to." God says, "Forgive that person for the pain that they've caused you." And we answer, "But it's so hard." God tells us to lead a life like his son. And we say, "Why?" Have you ever done something so embarrassing that you haven't even told the people that you trust the most? Have you ever done something in secret so that nobody will know what you did and then realized God was watching the whole time? Have you ever done something so sinful that it inspired the thought that even God couldn't forgive you for that? I want you to think about those things. About how much they might have hurt, might have angered Jesus. And as you picture him in that setting, picture him looking down and saying, I almost forgot. This is how much I love my dear child. I did this so they could be forgiven. I will forgive them. Does Jesus remember you, love you, forgive you? He does. And even if you should do something that brings him to the edge of forgetting that, his love is written on the palms of his hands, in the holes that are still there. There is no sin Jesus will not forgive. He loves you that much. Let's pray. God, we all have things in our lives that we would just as soon forget. And sometimes we wonder how much it would take for you to throw us out, to not love us anymore, to not be willing to forgive. But God, you've written our names on the palms of your hands. And your Son has marked his love on the palms of his. Help us, God, to change from those things that we've done, but to never believe that anything can separate us from you. Amen. Our final hymn is